listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps. Day 5 review.
Second serve for Lee. Check player waits. It's a double fault! Barbara Zalivova Stritsova, the lady with the longest name in the championship, creates the biggest upset so far.
So the women's number 2 seed is out, but last year's men's finalists go marching on.
Andy Murray, the defending champion, is through to the second week. He's got there in straight sets, as he did last year. And tonight, he was quite brilliant again here on centre court.
Cross court from Simon, up the line from Novak. He's got Simon on the run, slams the smash. What a way to close it out for Djokovic.
3 sets to love.
Hello and welcome from me, Gigi Salmon, on day 5 here at Wimbledon 2014. Now, to help us look back at the day's action, I'm joined by former British number one Lucy Arle and Wimbledon.com's Alex Willis, who are both regulars on Live at Wimbledon Radio throughout the championships. Now, ladies, let's start with day 5. I think for me, the highlight slash shock was the weather, because it was meant to tip it down all day, and we've had sunshine, Alex.
It was absolutely beautiful today. In fact, my highlight of the day was making my first trip to Henman Hill, the hill, or Murray Mound, whichever one you want to call it. I did go out there and watch a little bit of Andy Murray's match, and it, for the first time, security were saying that the hill was full, because it was such a beautiful day. Everyone was enjoying themselves immensely, and they got a good win out of it too.
And for you, Lucy, what was it about day 5?
I think for me, I'm probably going to be boring and be a Brit. And I think the fact that Andy Murray came through comfortably, my eyes firmly on that one.
And we're going to look at that a little bit in more detail a little later. But let's start with that drama on number one court as the number 2 seed crashed out of the ladies' singles.
Lee serves down the centre and now hits a forehand cross court. It's long and Barbara Zalivova Stritsova has created the sensation. The Australian Open champion is out pending a challenge. We are just going to confirm that Lee's forehand went beyond the baseline. And it did not! It was on the line! It was on the line! They were about to shake hands at the net! Lee had given it up!
God, there was a standing over. I mean, that is...
People were leaving the court, Lucy!
Oh, my God! Lee's just checking what's happening. Do we replay that?
My goodness, what drama on number one court! Oh, Barbara Zalivova Stritsova! She was reading the headlines in tomorrow's papers.
Wait, please.
It's still match point. Lee serving from the far end. Serves long. Can she gather herself? Second serve for Lee. Czech player waits. It's a double fault! Goodness me, it is over this time. And those headlines will be written. Barbara Zalivova Stritsova, the lady with the longest name in the championship, creates the biggest upset so far.
Lucy, there was a lot of drama. You were working on it for Live at Wimbledon. Your thoughts on what unfolded?
There was so much drama. I thought it was going to be pretty close, but I have to say I didn't think Lina was going to go out. I felt if it was a first round match, then there was a potential upset on the cards, because Barbara Zalivova Stritsova is coming into Wimbledon on good form, made the final at Birmingham, losing to Ivanovic. The one stat that did worry me about her form is the fact that she's never ever beaten a top 5 player in 15 attempts, in fact not been a top 13 player in 28 attempts, so obviously there was a bit of an issue there for her. So I mean, after that, I mean, we heard there with the it was a backhand hit on match point at 6-5 in the second set by Lina that was called long. I mean, they were centimetres away from shaking hands, and Lina thought, no, I'm going to challenge that one. Threw in the challenge. People were almost leaving the ground, standing ovation. Then we waited for Hawkeye, and it was, of course,
incredible.
In. So they had to replay it, and you just thought, I think she thought, no, I'm never, ever going to beat anyone that's ranked this high. And then the double fault from Lina, which I have to say was quite incredible that she didn't manage to draw on her experience. And, you know, the fact that she's the world's number 2 holder of 2 Grand Slams and threw in a double fault.
Obviously, huge credit to the winner. But, Alex, questions will be asked about Lina. There was the early exit in Paris and she said, you could have put anyone up against me today and I would have lost. Absolutely anyone. Then
she didn't play any grass court tournaments coming into it. A few people said, well, surely she had so much time. Maybe she should have entered and got a feel for the grass, but she didn't. She's got Carlos Rodriguez in her camp. Is Linar at somewhat of a crossroads at the moment?
I think she's one of those players who's always very much worn her emotions and her mood and her state of mind absolutely out there on her sleeve. And she said about Paris, as you said, that she just had that feeling that she wasn't going to win that day. And you wonder if she felt that way this morning, because in the build-up to this tournament, she was here hitting at the All England Club early, right here at the beginning of Overseas Week. Carlos, as we know, loves Wimbledon, was very passionate about Wimbledon when he was coaching Justine Henin. And he would have wanted to, you know, instill in Lina some confidence that she can play well on this surface. And even though she lost early, didn't lose early last year, mm-hmm. he was pleased with the way she played, the way she came to the net. But I don't know what happened today.
Absolutely incredible. So, Lucy, Barbara Zalaheva-Strycova is into week two, but it doesn't get any easier because next up it's Caroline Wozniacki.
I think she's got a great chance with her game. I mean, she's aggressive. She looks to move forward. We'll see her serve volley, which is obviously unusual. And I know Wozniacki does like a target, but with the way she was volleying and executing the volleys at the net, I think she's got a good chance. She should be feeling very confident. She's one of the players that's probably played the most amount of matches on grass.
So Linar is no more, but there are no problems for the Wimbledon champion Andy Murray, who is still to drop a set at this year's championships. Roberto Bautista Agut was the latest player to succumb to the Scotsman, who now faces the big serving Kevin Anderson.
Tough opponent. Like Roberto, I think he's playing the best tennis of his career so far. I think he's up at his highest ranking. He's made some improvements this year, you know, and he's a big guy with a big game, you know, so I'm going to need to be sharp in that one. I'm going to have to return well if I want to win. You just got to be mentally ready for that and prepared, and I'll try to do that.
Lucy, he's definitely going to have to return well, because they are going to be bombs coming down from Kevin Anderson.
He is, and I mean, he's just going to have to look, particularly at the start, to just try and get hold of as many serves as he can, put them back into play. Also, as he talked about, he's got to accept that it's going to be a slight different rhythm in the match, because there's going to be some quicker points. And as we know with Murray, he likes to get into some baseline exchanges. So he'll need to prepare slightly differently, but it's something that he's not had to, that he has had to deal with before.
Alex, we were talking a little bit earlier in terms of the highlight of the 5 days so far, and for you it was Andy Murray coming back and opening things up on centre court, because he's been looking good.
I think he looks very comfortable here, and it's a real delight to see him looking comfortable here, because I think no one really knew how he would react to coming back as defending champion. He put such enormous pressure on himself, not to mention the pressure around him, but so far so good.
Meanwhile, 2011 champion and number one seed Novak Djokovic went through in straight sets. But the match against Gilles Simon on centre court was not without a scare, as the Serb fell and hurt his shoulder during the third set.
It was a sharp pain when I fell. It was an awkward fall. I was just hoping there's nothing going on bad with the joint. And luckily, there's no damage in the joint. You know, I could play a few games after that, and just the muscle was quite sore because of the impact. But, you know, all in all, I'm just very glad to get through. 2 days off, and I'm going to try to recover, get ready. Next one, I think, is Tsonga, so it's going to be a great matchup for both of us.
Going to start with that fall, because that was a shock and everyone in centre court held their breath. He's not a player to stay down. He was clutching his shoulder. He's had the wrist problems. He asked for the doctor and they were a worrying few minutes.
Well, the extraordinary thing watching the clip back was that it wasn't the shoulder that he actually fell on as he slipped that he hurt. He rolled over and landed awkwardly, it seems, on the other shoulder. And we clipped it up and watched it back a few times. And as you say, Djokovic, He's so incredibly fit, the way he plays tennis, but he has seemed to have been a little bit injury prone of late, and for him to sustain an injury at this stage is not necessarily good news.
What have you made of Djokovic over the first three rounds, Luce?
I think he's looked pretty comfortable for me. I mean, I didn't see too much of that match because I was commentating elsewhere, but certainly his first round match, where a lot of people had eyes on him and they were talking about his fitness with the wrist, he didn't like the fact that was brought up, did he, in the post-match interview. But he's looking good out there. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I would think that the shoulder, I heard that he did get it checked out, got an MRI, and that there isn't any problems, that it'll just be bruising. So it's good to have a few days for that to come out. But I think I think he's certainly, I mean, he's hitting the ball well, he's moving well, and as he's going into the second week, I think he'll be pleased with his performance so far.
A quick word on Joe Wilfried Tsonga. Does it depend which Joe Wilfried Tsonga turns up?
I think so. I mean, Tsonga's just pleased to have finished today, isn't he? And that was, I think, his main goal, not to have to play over two matches. And you're right, we don't know what we're going to get from Joe. I mean, if it's an on-form Joe, it could be a pretty exciting match.
So as we talked about, the big story in the ladies' singles was the dramatic departure of Lee Nob. But we also had two former champions going head-to-head on centre court, where Petra Kvitova overcame Venus Williams in three tight sets. And then Venus was somewhat bemused to be asked after the match whether she would soon retire.
For some reason in tennis, we always do that to our players. It's weird. We don't encourage them to stick around. We're like, get out of here. So I'm not getting out of here. And I think this year has been a great year for me. I've had some tough losses, but I've learned a lot from them. And I'm finding my way back on my feet. And I'm proud of myself for what I'm achieving on the court.
It was a great contest out there today, Alex. Kvitova against Venus. Two former champions, as I touched on. And they were toe-to-toe for the majority of it.
Oh, arguably the best ladies' singles match of the tournament so far. And to see Venus Williams still producing tennis of that calibre, given everything she's gone through, not just, you know, her rather more senior age in the game, but the illnesses that she's had. But as she said, she's enjoying it out there. And to see Kvitova also, who we know has been struggling with illness and injury, really take it to her and come back from that. And the look on her face when she won, I mean, that said it all, really.
Three really enjoyable sets, and Petra Kvitova's another one of those. Champion here, then the form dipped, and sometimes she's very, very good, sometimes not so good. She had the hamstring problem at Eastbourne, so pulled out of her match with Heather Watson. She's got Peng Shuai in the next round, and she's got a fantastic game for this surface, Lucy.
She really has, and she knows she can play well here. As you said, she's won the title, and I think sometimes it's the expectation she struggled with, and that's when the confidence dipped. And if she's confident, then she can be unstoppable with her strike, with the serve, with the forehand. One thing that has impressed me is her movement around the court. I think she's looking sharper than ever off the mark, that first step. And a lot of the time you can play back behind her and she is countering that. So I think, you know, I think she's got a very good chance of coming through that bottom section.
She's working with a new fitness trainer at the moment as well. Meanwhile, third seed Simona Halep also came through, but was taken to three sets by the Ukrainian Lesia Tesarenko.
I didn't play my best today. It was a tough match. I expected that she will play very well. She did. And, you know, on grass is not easy. Every match is difficult and you never know who will win or who will lose.
I'm a big fan, Alex, of Simona Halep. I like her attitude. She's very quiet when she talks. You almost think she doesn't sound like she's that confident, and this isn't her best surface, but just, I think, wonderful on and off the court.
I think it's easy to forget that this is all pretty new for her. I mean, if you think about where she was at this stage last year, she did her pre-tournament press conferences for the first time she was invited to do one at Wimbledon, and it was almost like she's surprised that people wanted to hear what she had to say. But one thing I do wonder with her is when she might run out of steam a little bit. I mean, to get to the French Open final and then come here and start playing again almost immediately, it's a very quick turnaround.
It is a quick turnaround, but she's young, she's fit. I think the thing, I mean, she played a lot of matches last year, didn't she? I mean, all those titles that she won. I'm not sure if that will necessarily be a factor. Perhaps the emotional side, because, I mean, that was a big step for her making the final at the French Open. Whether she can continue here, not so sure on grass yet. I think, as you say, there's a lot of new experiences for Halep, and just perhaps this is maybe one step too far, but you certainly can't write her off.
And an intriguing tie-up next against Belinda Bencic. Speaking to a couple of Swiss journalists, they're still not sure just how good Bencic can be.
Great player, really, really one to watch. Again, still lacking the experience at this level, but she will certainly be a player to look out for the future.
And just to let you know that the fourth seed Agnieszka Radwanska comfortably progressed in straight sets against the often very noisy Michelle Larcher de Brito. Right then, elsewhere there was a great match. It was a fantastic match on court one, where Gregor Dimitrov and Alexander Dolgopolov went the distance. The Bulgarian Dimitrov finally prevailed 6-1 in the fifth. So the question is he a contender for the title?
goal number one is achieved to get into that second week, so I'm excited. You know, it's a lot of tennis to be played, 2 days off now, and, you know, anything can happen.
People, Lucy, have been asking about Dimitrov. He picked up that title at Queen's, but when is he going to do it in a major? Because he has everything. When is he going to step up, make it count? Could it be at Wimbledon this year?
I'm not sure. I think it's a big ask, isn't it, when you've got the likes of Federer, Djokovic, Murray and Nadal around. If they weren't in the equation, then definitely. And I think in years to come, he will. Perhaps not too many years, but I think with the form of those four at a Grand Slam, I think it's tough really for anyone.
Tennis going on all over the court, as you'd expect on day five, when we saw Jerzy Janowicz beat Leighton Hewitt in what could be the Australian's last singles match here at Wimbledon. We shall wait and see. Hewitt battled back from two sets down but couldn't take the fifth. So, is that it for the former champion?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm one injury away from hanging up the bat at any time. So, yeah, I obviously appreciated the support out there today. Well, I still enjoy it and still enjoy doing the hard work and, you know, for moments out there like today to play five setters against the best guys in the world. But, you know, obviously when I've had the surgeries, I've missed it as well when I, you know, you have been out. And so I think in some ways the last couple of years I've been grateful that I've been able to come back after, you know, especially the last surgery, knowing where, you know, I didn't really think I'd be able to go out there and compete against the guys again. So, yeah, there's satisfaction in doing that.
Right, I'm going to start with a stat. Leighton Hewitt today broke the Open Era record for the most five-set matches played at Grand Slams. The Janowicz match with Hewitt's 42nd. He previously shared the record with Andre Agassi. Alex, no wonder his body is held together with metal pins, all the tennis he's played over the years.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I always enjoy watching Leighton Hewitt in Australia because those courts, also those hard courts, and the way he throws his body around them in front of his home crowd. But as you say, how he keeps it all together. And I mean, I wonder what physio he must go through each night when he comes off the court, because he just plays with such energy and yet keeps going.
He certainly does. And I mean, I think it says it all, doesn't it? The amount of five-set matches that he's battled through over the years. I mean, it's just fantastic, isn't it, to see him out there continuing to win, knowing that he's towards the end of his career, but he's still going. And obviously a lot of Aussie support there continuing to sing. They're quite complicated, their chants, aren't they?
Do you want to give us a rendition?
I think it was just Leighton Hewitt.
Oh, that's quite
normally
tricky.
That one.
Yeah, we'll have to.
And is this put me on the spot?
Are we going
to
see him? Are we going to see him at Wimbledon again, or do you think this is his final singles appearance, main draw?
I think it could be his final one. I think it depends how he gets on, but I think another 12 months could be a tough ask for Hewitt.
Now, we touched on this a little bit earlier, Joe Wilfried Tsonga, because he faces Novak Djokovic next. And Lucy said, yeah, he's got a day off tomorrow. A straight sets win. We were thinking, hang on, this is not Joe Wilfried Tsonga. And his first day off of the championships. I mean, it's incredible how much tennis he's been making. If you came every single day, you'd see Tsonga every day.
Well, we were actually trying to trawl the Wimbledon compendium to find out if a player had ever had to play on consecutive days of the championships as often as Tsonga has. I'm afraid the compendium, or 555 pages of it, came up short.
Kidding me.
I know.
That's not true. I don't believe that, Alex.
Well, no, I did check. That doesn't exist as a statistic. But yes, good performance from Tsonga, but I think the next one will be really tough.
Certainly will be. So he thanks Jimmy Wang for that straight sets victory. But then at 9:40 at night, this happened.
He serves. Backhand by Burdick is deep. Now he's got to play the forehand cross court. Tillich is there. Big forehand. Dug out by Burdick. It lands on the baseline. No! He's missed it! And Marin Tillich looks at his team. He looks at the Croatian supporters, because he has pulled off an epic win in the gloom of the number three court. 2 hours and 49 minutes on court. What a big win for Marin Tillich. 7-6, 6-4, 7-6.
Great work from Peter Mercato. Alongside him, Lucy, was Barry Cowan. And what a match. It had a little bit of everything, including no light.
Didn't it? I mean, it was pitch black out there and they just kept going. I mean, we kept saying, OK, well, they can stop when it's even. OK, 5-all, 6-all. Are we going to stop? No, went into the tiebreak. And I mean, Burdick, he was having a bit of a whinge throughout it, wasn't he, about everything. I guess some of it you can understand. There was no Hawkeye because that doesn't work when it's dark. So I think that pretty much tells you how tough it was out there for the guys. But it, exciting for the crowd, and it'll be interesting to hear the press conferences of both players.
Alex, unbelievable drama. And lucky for those people who are still here, maybe they just finished watching Andy Murray's match. They piled into court three. They saw some great tennis.
They really did. I think court three is an underrated court, and actually credit to Cilic for keeping his composure in those circumstances. I don't think it's easy when your opponent is clearly so unhappy at having to keep playing, and he just went about his business and he was rewarded for it.
He certainly was. The Colombian Santiago Giraldo, he's going to play Roger Federer next after putting out the 30th seed Marcel Granollers in fifth set. Lucy, can he cause, from what you've seen, Roger Federer any problems at this tournament?
I don't think so. I mean, I hadn't put Federer up there as a potential winner at all until I watched him last night. And, I mean, he was on unbelievable form, serving well, moving well. He was so loose out there. I mean, he was just hitting winner after winner. And I have to say that that's probably some of the best tennis I've seen him play for a while.
Now, also through Leonardo Maier, Feliciano Lopez, who picked up the title and defended it successfully in Eastbourne, and Jeremy Shardy, who overcame the danger of Sergei Stakhovsky, but Stakhovsky had to have a medical timeout and treatment on his lower back at the end of that third set. Now into the women, some more results. And Lucy Safarova beat the 10th seed Dominika Sibulkova in straight sets. It means we've got four women from the Czech Republic through to the round of 16. First off, very healthy state of affairs over there. But Lucy, how much of a shock was that result, if at all?
I watched some of the match, and I have to say Lucy Safarova, who has had an up and down career, and there was a lot of expectation on her shoulders, well, sort of back in 2006, 2007, where she played her best tennis. 2007 was where she had her best Grand Slam tennis, made the quarterfinals of the Australian Open, fourth of the French, and a lot of expectation on her, and it hasn't quite come true. There's been spells where she's played phenomenal tennis and had good weeks, and it was one of those days today. Served well, used the lefty swing well, and she was able to get the ball to move off the court away from Sibulkova. So she played some good tactics, played smart play out there. So from watching it, I don't think it was too much of a shock.
Also through Caroline Wozniacki, Ekaterina Makarova, Peng Shuai and Tereza Smitkova, who won 10-8 in the third. Looking at some doubles action that's taking place today, and Jamie Murray, it's a happy evening in the Murray household because Jamie Murray and John Peers beat Jamie Delgado and Gilles Muller. Maybe not so happy in the Delgado Muller household this evening. That was a straight sets win. And there was disappointment for Ross Hutchins and Heather Watson. They lost in three sets to Mikhail Elgin and Anastasia Rodionova, 1-6, 6-1, 7-9. Right then, we have had some wonderful tennis here at Wimbledon on day five, as we've been talking about. And of course, as always, with Live at Wimbledon, plenty of fun off the court as well. And when Mary Rhodes met the BBC Scotland correspondent Caroline Iddesane, she could have perhaps phrased her question a little bit better.
Caroline, how long have you been following Murray?
Oh,
makes you sound like a stalker. Let me rephrase that. How long have you been covering Murray?
It's the correct word. Well used. In fact, I remember I first started seriously at stalking him in 2009. And actually, that year, I've got a good face for radio. I turned 40 that year, and I actually got a birthday card from the Murrays in which he wrote, "Happy 40th. Thanks for stalking me all year." So he called me a stalker.
You're listening to Live at Wimbledon. Mary Rhodes accusing someone of being a stalker. Slightly shocking from Mary. I want to get to the order of play for day six. I'm just going to tell you what's on centre and number one. And then, ladies, I want your pick of matches from anywhere around the ground. So 1 o'clock starts centre and number one. We've got Mikhail Kukushkin, who's coached by his wife, Mrs. Kukushkina, against Rafael Nadal. Alison Risk against Maria Sharapova. Santiago Giraldo against Roger Federer. And on court one, also 1 o'clock start, Serena Williams against Alize Cornet, Anna Ivanovic against Sabina Lisicki, and Stan Wawrinka against Dennis Istomin. So Alex, if I ask you for a match and why, it can be from any of the courts that are in action tomorrow, what do you pick and why? I'm going to go with the first match on number three court, which is Andrea Petkovic against Eugenie Bouchard, mainly because I'm intrigued to see how their styles match up against each other. Bouchard plays with quite an easy, relaxed, comfortable style, and Petkovic is without sounding, it, not to sound unkind, but more mechanical, and I just think it will be an interesting one to watch.
Okay, so that is the first match on court three. It's 11:30 start. Around the grounds, Lucy, what is it for you and why? What should people be looking at?
I'm going court number two. We mentioned it earlier. Second on, Halep v Bencic. I think if people want to have a look at someone who's potentially going to win Grand Slams in the future, Belinda Bencic is one to look at.
My thanks to Lucy Arl and Alex Willis, who you can hear every day of the championships and live at Wimbledon Radio, along with the likes of Wayne Ferreira, Barry Cowan and Jan Michael Gamble. Make sure you join Marcus Buckland and the whole team from 9 a.m. British summer time for full uninterrupted coverage and live commentary from SW19. You can listen to us, wimbledon.com, 87.7, and the official Wimbledon or TuneIn apps. And if you're in the US, you can catch us on Sirius XM satellite radio presented by ESPN. Remember, tweet us your views at live at Wimbledon using the hashtag Wimbledon. Email us radio at aeltc.com. And you can also like our Facebook page or send us your Wimbledon-related pics via Instagram. So after another great tier tennis here at the All England Club, from me, Gigi Salmon, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps.